Welcome back to the Health Longevity Secret Show, and I'm your host, Dr. Robert Lufkin. In today's episode, we get to unlock the secrets to a longer, healthier life with our special guest, the visionary Dr. Peter Diamandis. His unique insights bridge the gap between exponential technologies and extended human lifespan, revealing a future where artificial intelligence, quantum computing, and advanced biology converge. In a narrative that weaves personal passion with pioneering science, Peter takes us from his roots in a medical household to the stars of space exploration, all the while focusing on the potential to add vibrant years to our lives. Explore the forefront of regenerative medicine with us as Peter discusses innovative work with placental-derived cells and exosomes, the potential for these therapies to heal, maintain muscle mass, and fight age-related decay sets the stage for a healthier tomorrow. Peter's optimism and proactive stance towards medical advancements offer a refreshing perspective on the aging process, and his insights into NAD precursors and mitochondrial health underscore the exciting developments on the horizon. From intermittent fasting to the imperative of dietary choices, including the elimination of sugar, of course, this episode is packed with actionable advice and personal anecdotes that highlight the need for a tailored approach to wellness. Join us on this episode that not only envisions a brighter future, but also equips us all with the knowledge to actively shape our own healthier, extended life. And before we begin, I wanted to share a short 30-second video that's prepared about our upcoming book, which is now has been running several weeks now at the number one bestseller status on Amazon. Thank you very much for that. Those of you who are listening on audio, you're going to hear 30 seconds of the soundtrack for this, and then we'll get going from here right after that. This episode is brought to you by El Nutra, maker of the Prolong Fasting Mimicking Diet. If you'd like to try it, use the link in the show notes for 20% off. And now, please enjoy this week's episode.
Very pleased during this particular session to invite Peter Diamandis to join us. Peter has been recently named as one of Fortune's 50 greatest leaders. He's the founder and executive chairman of the XPRIZE Foundation, executive founder of Singularity University, and he's the author of four New York Times best-selling books, including the most recent one, Life Force with Tony Robbins. Peter, it's such a pleasure to welcome you to our program.
Pleasure, Steve. Good to be here.
Let's start by just kind of giving us a sense. I know that there's so many different areas that cutting edge areas that you're involved in, but how did you get interested in the area of longevity?
You know, I grew up in a medical family. My father was an OBGYN. My mom should have been a doctor, ran his office, and it was expected I'd become a doctor. I went to MIT undergrad for molecular genetics, and in the nighttime, I would focus on everything related to space. I was a space junkie. Star Trek and Apollo really lit me on fire. Ended up going to medical school, did a joint program at MIT and Harvard, and after I got my diploma, I shipped a photocopy to my parents and then went and started focusing on my space journeys and started building companies in the space arena. Launch and satellite and a zero gravity company, a space university, and pursued space for 30 years. And it was about 20 years ago that I really started focusing in on exponential technologies, how computation, sensors, networks, AI, robotics, and everything going on in biotech had the potential to reinvent every industry. And in particular, it hit me that lifespan, health span was a huge opportunity for disruption. And it came, my interest in this area came from two different places. One, from my childhood desire to open up space. There's not been enough progress to make me happy, right? We haven't seen the Star Trek. We haven't been on back to the moon or gone to Mars. So I figured, okay, I need an extra 50 years on this planet to at least see the potential of what I desire to see. And the second is just the grand challenge of it all. And I think there's no greater gift you can give than increased health span and no bigger business on the planet. You know, for me, I have a $500 million venture fund called Bold Capital. And we had been investing mostly in exponential tech and robotics and AI, but I've shifted the fund mostly 2/3 now to biotech with a age, you know, and longevity focus, because I think it's one of the biggest markets out there. So those areas, there was one pivotal moment for me, Steve. When I was in medical school, I watched this television show on long-lived sea life. And it was talking about how bowhead whales could live 200 years and Greenland sharks could live 400 or 500 years. And I remember thinking, if they can live that long, why can't we? And I said, it's either a hardware problem or a software problem. And I think this is the decade where we start to make a dent in those problems.
Yeah, so it's a convergence of a lot of very important facts there, including your own interest in having more time here to do all of these exciting things.
Yeah, it's the most exciting time to be alive. So I want to see as much of it as I can.
Right, right. Can you give us your perspective on aging, like why we age? I know you mentioned hardware, software, but yeah, what's your perspective on why we age?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think of it the following, right? And these are the fundamental sort of baseline facts that get me thinking about aging in this way. It's, you know, we're all born with 3.2 billion letters from our father and our mother, and we have the same genome really throughout our lives, at birth, at 20, at 50, at 80, at 100. So why do you look different? Why do you age, right? It's not the genes you have. It's which genes are on and which genes are off. Obviously, David Sinclair is a friend, and his theory on, information theory of aging, for me, holds a lot of validity. But it's, again, it's the notion of making sure that your epigenetic control of your body, of your genome is solid. And it's, you know, the other thing that hits me is that when we were evolving on the savannas of Africa 100,000 years ago, you know, during the time we call cavemen, you'd go into puberty at age 12 or 13. By the time you were 24, 25, 26, you were a grandparent. Your babies were having babies. And back then, before we had an abundance of food, before McDonald's and Whole Foods was around, if nature's mission was to perpetuate our species, to pass on our genome generation to generation, the last thing you wanted to do was steal food from your grandchildren's mouth. So there was a positive bias for an early end of life. There was no selective factors to keep you alive longer. And so we evolved in that direction. Now the question is, can we go from Darwinism, evolution by natural selection, to, you know, an evolution by intelligent direction? Can we reinvent the software and hardware of our body? Can we understand the fundamentals? And along this lines, this is where, you know, the work that I do in studying exponential technologies really flips my mindset. The realization is we all inherently have a linear bias in how we think. We expect tomorrow and next year to be very much like this year, a little bit of progression, maybe not too much. But the fact is, and I think this is the work that my colleague and mentor, Ray Kurzweil, has spoken about, we're going to see in the next decade as much progress as we've seen in the past century. That's how fast technology is accelerating. And so I think that we're going to see a disproportionate application of artificial intelligence and what's coming just after that, that's going to make AI look like it's standing still, which is quantum technologies. Quantum computation, sensors, and communications enable an understanding of biology, which I think at its basis, you know, molecular in nature is quantum in nature. we're going to start to understand fundamentals there. And I think we're going to start adding additional healthy years onto our life. And that brings about what Ray and Aubrey de Grey have spoken about as longevity escape velocity, the notion that there's going to be a moment in time that for every year that you're alive, science is adding more than a year to your life. I had interviewed Ray and George Church for my book that I did with Tony, Life Force, and I asked Ray, when do you think we're going to reach longevity escape velocity? And now, Ray is not a biologist, but he is a technologist and has one of the most accurate predictions out there. It's, if you Google his name and predictions, it's like 84% accuracy. And his prediction on when we'll reach longevity escape velocity is the next 10 to 12 years. When I asked George, I expected him to be a lot more conservative, and he was, but not by much. You know, it's like 15 to 20 years. So our job here isn't to live an extra 50 years. It's to live long enough to intercept the new technologies coming in the next 10 to 20 years.
Right. Well, that's, we're very close then, based on both of their predictions. There are a couple of directions I'd like to go with just the first response that you gave me. But one of the things that I know is very important in your perspective is mindset. I wrote an article recently on purpose, which I said is the ultimate in use it and lose it. And you talk about mindset as being very important. How does mindset impact longevity, in your opinion? And what would be the mechanism that happens in that process?
Sure. So there's a quote I use from a dear friend, Dan Sullivan. He goes, need to make sure that your future is bigger than your past. Right. And that's a very simple but very big idea, that if you feel like, listen, I've lived my life, there's nothing more to look forward to, it's done. You know, if you look at the research, you can effectively will yourself to death. And we all know situations where, you know, one spouse dies and then a few days later or a few weeks later, the second spouse dies, you know, and that was not predetermined at birth. It was an impact of losing someone that's that close to you. So there is a physiological connection between mind and body. There's also a connection of, you know, if you're excited about life, if you're vibrant, you know, keeping your mind engaged and your body engaged, all of these things have secondary and tertiary benefits. One of my favorite stories has to do with the founding fathers of our country. I'm trying to remember which two founding fathers it was. I think it was Benjamin Franklin and I'm blanking on the second, who they both lived exactly to the 50th anniversary of 1776, July 4th, 1776, and died on that day. They lived to see the 50th anniversary of the nation that they had started. And again, is that random? I don't think so. I think it's like having something to look forward to that keeps you alive. So I think mindset is very important. I think, you know, today, before we have epigenetic reprogramming and gene therapies and stem cell, you know, restoration and all the senolytic medicines out there, before we have that, we have the basics for extending the healthy lifespan, right? It's diet, exercise, sleep, mindset, and not dying from something stupid, which I can talk about in a second. But in the mindset, you have to believe that, in fact, there are breakthroughs coming, that the technologies to extend your lifespan are on the horizon, that you have something to look forward to, so that you have less inflammation, less aches and pains, less, low energy days. And one of the things I did, Steve, was I built an AI called FutureScope that searches the world's information for news on any subjects, vets the information for high scientific validity, and then creates a summary of the article with an appropriate image. So I set it free and built something called longevityinsider.org. So every day I get the top 10 breakthroughs in the field of longevity. I read, and it's like, oh my God, that's amazing. I had no idea, because, you know, we never see this in the news media today, unless you're actively looking for it. So longevityinsider.org is free. For me, it's how I maintain my longevity mindset, because I'm seeing every day the progress being made on all of these technology fronts. Mm-hmm.
I can think of two different ways that mindset may play a role here. One is that it sends some kind of direct message to our epigenome.
Yes.
That actually makes some changes there. And the other is simply that with a positive, healthy mindset, the body functions more efficiently, more effectively, and therefore it ages more slowly. Do you see those as two separate processes or part of the same?
You know, I won't venture to guess, but I also think there's a third process, which is if you're excited about what you're doing, you're going to get out of bed earlier. You're going to get, you're going to want to feel better. You're going to learn. Of course, we all know that, brain plasticity is a real thing that you do when you learn. When you and Robert put on this event and you're engaging and you're learning and you're talking, that is really driving you forward instead of waking up in the morning and deciding whether you're going to make a cup of coffee or not. Right. So, I mean, there is, one of the challenges is this four-letter word spelled retirement. It's people retire and lose their will to do anything. And I think retirement is a bad idea for anybody. Mm-hmm. There's a correlation between when you retire and when you pass away. I think retirement is the equivalent mentally of telling the universe, okay, I'm done making use of my body. It's time to give it back to the ecosystem.
Right, right. And yes, and I would agree that a positive mindset does drive healthier behaviors. So I would certainly agree with that. Back to your analogy to the caveman and 100,000 years ago and how we lived into just our 20s or 30s, and we have the evolutionary sort of baggage or legacy of that in terms of many of our enzymes, hormones beginning to drop off around that age.
Yes, exactly.
What's your feeling about replacement therapies to replace those decreasing substances?
Yeah, I think that it is important to try and get us to homeostasis again, get us back to baseline. So I do testosterone supplementation. I use a peptide to boost my IGF-1 levels and a variety of things. And I won't go into a list of them here, but I've had the chance to start two companies, one called Fountain Life that we can talk about that really is a diagnostic side of the equation, a therapeutic side of the equation. On the therapeutic side, it really is about how do we bring you back to, hormone optimization versus just supplementation. Where should you be? Mm-hmm. And then another company I'd started with Tony Robbins called Life Force that is similarly with peptides, medicines, hormones, really trying to get you back to a baseline. So do I believe that that we need to supplement what we have? Absolutely. I'm also a big believer in the power to restore our stem cell populations, our regenerative engine of our body, right? It's not legal in the United States other than your own stem cells from fat or bone marrow. But the research will get done. One of the companies I co-founded with Bob Hurry, who's the chairman CEO of Cellularity, I serve as the co-founder and vice chairman, is the largest placental facility out there. We have stored hundreds of thousands of placentas. We decellularize those to bring out the natural killer cells, the T cells, the stem cells, and the exosomes that are then really developed as cellular medicines to address everything from immune function to sarcopenia to wound healing to really the natural killer cells being used to fight a number of different cancers in clinical trials today.
You mentioned in that comment exosomes. What's your opinion on their value in terms of longevity?
So I think exosomes, again, are in the gray zone from the perspective of the FDA today. I think that we need to give those companies support to produce those, because I think they are, there is value for them. I have used exosomes myself in terms of accelerating wound healing post-surgical. I think that this is really, it's giving your body the growth signals and repair signals that it might have done in your 20s, but in your 50s, 60s, 70s, no longer has the capability to provide. So a lot of research still to be done, a lot of work under IRBs and INDs, but I think these are incredibly important tools. There's a company I'm an advisor and investor to called Immunis that has been really is in human clinical trials right now, pulling, you know, taking the exudate of stem cells, really all of the growth factors and the exosomes, and using that as a mechanism to stimulate and maintain muscle mass. And I think most everybody here will know muscle mass is one of the critical factors for longevity. There's a direct correlation between your muscle mass. And so I'm fighting sarcopenia every day. I'm 61 and I work out. I've increased my protein intake to handle it, but I would love any other technologies that allow me to maintain a significant level of muscle.
So these approaches that you're just describing, including stem cells, et cetera, what's the time frame in terms of when they are might be fully available?
So they are available outside the United States today. We don't at Fountain Life on the therapeutic side, we don't provide stem cells domestically today. We send people, we vetted 6 or 7 different stem cell clinics outside the US and the Caribbean, Mexico, Panama, Costa Rica, other locations. And we've sent our members to the Regenerative Medicine Institute in Costa Rica, Dr. Vince Giampapa there, just because the level of service and the science there we think is very high. We've been looking with Celularity to implement an IND to look at placental-derived stem cells. So we're going to see this over the next, you know, increasing in capability, but under really critically vetted scientific measures and data collection, right? We need to collect the data to make sure that it is safe and efficacious and under what conditions it is so. So I think that's this decade. But stem cell exhaustion is definitively one of the hallmarks of aging. Right. I mean, if you look at stem cell populations in a newborn compared to someone in my age, you know, in every different segment of tissues, we've seen stem cell reduction by a factor of 100 to 1,000-fold. And that's challenging. It's challenging in your ability to repair and challenging in your ability to maintain functionality and vitality of those tissues and organs.
Yeah. And so, like, back to some of these supplements, for example, NAD, which is so important to the health of our mitochondria. What's your opinion in terms of when you take these supplements? Do you believe they're actually going to where they
great question.
Have an impact?
So NAD obviously is not a supplement. It is the powerhouse inside the cell, right?
Right.
The precursor, you know, there's no carrier molecule for NAD to get it across the cell membrane that we know right now. And the precursors are NMN and NR. I do take about a gram of NMN every day. Do I feel a physiological difference from that? Maybe. But I think it's more based on belief than anything else. And there is good science data in animal studies today, not human studies. There is a study going on right now by a company called Metro Biotech, run by a friend of mine, which is doing a study with the U.S. Special Forces. And they have a very purified form of NMN called MI6, MIB626, that they're looking at, and they're providing under a clinical study, under a double-blind study with Special Forces, looking at increased muscle strength and cognitive capability. And the early study results were very positive, and we'll see where that plays out over the next few years. So am I excited? Yes. Do I think we really hit the knee of the curve yet? No. I think we're going to see massive data sets being analyzed by AI in the next 1 to 4 years, and then quantum technologies really making a huge dent in this in the next 4 to 6 years.
That's quite something else for us to look forward to.
It is, and I think having something to look forward to is part of that mindset element.
And so what other mechanisms do you think are out there in terms of our ability to slow or reverse epigenetic aging?
Well, there's one thing which is important, and you may have someone from Fountain Life speaking as well. It's a company I serve as executive chairman of and co-founded with Tony Robbins and Mark Benioff. And Fountain Life has built these 10,000 square foot diagnostic centers where we do full body MRI, brain imaging, brain vasculature, and AI coronary CT, DEXA scan, genomics, 150 gigabits of data. And the reality is we are always in a state of some level of degradation, degeneration. As you said, you know, after 30, it's, you know, our thymus start shrinking, our hormonal levels start going down, our growth hormone levels start going down. And so we're in a slow decline. And the other thing going on is that we start to develop diseases that were never pre-selected against because you had reproduced by the age of 30. Right. And so these diseases would occur later on in life. And we're all developing cancers all the time. Hopefully our innate immune system, our natural killer cells, are finding those cancers and zapping them. But there's another thing called immunoexhaustion. As we get viral burdens in our body, our NK cells are focused on viruses and not cancers. And that's a challenge. So one of the things that we do at Fountain Life is we do an annual upload where you're fully digitized, and then quarterly additional testing. And the goal is to find disease at inception and zap it at the beginning. Our bodies are incredibly good at hiding problems. You know, you don't feel a cancer at stage one or stage two. You experience at stage three or stage four many times when it's too late, right? For Parkinson's, you don't really have the tremor until like 70% of the neurons are gone. And your body compensates for all these things. And unless you're looking, you do not know. So in our first, I think like 4,000 or 5,000patients going through all this testing, our members going through this testing, we've discovered 2% have a cancer they don't know about, 2.5% have an aneurysm they don't know about, 14.4% have a significant finding that is could impact their lifespan that they need to know about. And so I call this category, you know, not dying from something stupid. In other words, looking and understanding. And then when you find something, taking action right away. You know, in like in the wildfire world, do you want to try and put out the wildfire after it's a conflagration or at the first spark, right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing here. You know, you're going to find out eventually. When do you want to know? Mm-hmm. The beginning or later? So that's what we built with Fountain Life. We also built an insurance company called Fountain Health Insurance, which I'm very proud of, where for your current health insurance for a self-insured company at $1,000 a month, we give your employees all of the testing for free. So the health insurance, instead of paying you after you're sick and have had your surgery, the goal of the health insurance is to keep you from getting sick in the first place. Mm-hmm. So again, there are lots of things that can be done in that regard.
Yeah, I think it's so important to get baseline.
Yes, 1,000%.
measures. And then as you continue to take measures, perhaps every year, it's not only looking at you compared to the normal, it's also you compared to where you were a year ago, so that you actually pick up on changes that may not be appropriate.
Exactly. The first time I did a full body MRI, I discovered I had an enlarged aortic root. And it was like, is that me or is there something going on? Hmm. And it hasn't changed in 8 years. And so it's my baseline, which is good to know. Right. And so understanding your baseline, like you said, Steve, is super critical.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of when we think about repair, cellular repair, a more and more popular approach now is intermittent fasting, fasting mimicking diets. And I've heard people talk about, well, you have to fast for 2 days, 48 hours before that repair process takes place. Others say, no, it's more or less on a continuum that you can trigger the process after 16 hours. What's your perspective on that?
So listen, the work done by Victor Longo at UCLA, I think is pretty definitive and has been vetted by multiple studies. The fasting mimicking diet, I actually just did it on January 2nd through 6th, right, to start off the year. And it's a 5-day diet. The first day is 1200 calories. The second through fifth day is 800 calories. It's the Prolon diet is what it is. And I found it very easy to do. According to them, that diet is better than just a water diet. Meaning the impact on your physiology and knocking out your senile cells and stimulating autophagy is higher than if you did nothing. So I found it sufficient enough that I'm going to probably do it once a quarter, at least twice a year, but I hope for once a quarter. The second thing I've just started doing in my Abundance 360 community, Steve, at the beginning of the year, and I just did these back to back, we do a 22-day no sugar challenge. And if there is one recommendation on diet over fasting, over intermittent fasting, over plants, over anything, it's eliminating sugar. I think, glycation of proteins, of cholesterol is a root cause for much cardiovascular and neurological disease. And so I'm wearing my CGM. I've got my levels patch on my arm over here. And let's see what my level is here right now. Let's see. Okay. I'm at 90 milligrams per deciliter. And so I look to make sure I have zero spikes during the day. And trying to get my hemoglobin A1C is been at 5.3. I'm trying to get it down to 5. We'll see if I can do that. I take a gram of metformin near Bergelai as a friend. I believe the data that he has. And then I'm also taking rapamycin. The data is reasonably good. Again, in animal studies, there is a rapamycin study that has just been initiated, I believe, to look at its impact. And right now, it's a lot of trial and error for people. It's what do you feel is got enough upside and is safe enough for you, and what makes you actually feel good. I know that I feel better on a no sugar diet, right? It's difficult for sure, but after a few weeks, you can break the habit. It's addicting. Sugar is addicting. And again, going back to our hominid ancestors 100,000 years ago, they didn't have sugar. There was no sugar cane plantations and M&Ms and Snicker bars. I mean, it just, we never evolved for that.
Right, right. Yeah, and I know that I've heard you say sugar is poison.
It is.
And it's one thing for people to know this, but it's also addictive. So in finding ways to eliminate it or reduce it it's really a challenge to habitual behaviors of ours. So it takes us back to the mindset issue, because really we have to be very incentivized and intentional in really following through with a lot of what would be good for us.
It is. You have to care enough about yourself and your physiology. And the mindset that I'm in is one that I'm investing in my future and the future of my kids. I have two 11-year-old boys. And I'm excited about the future, and I want to do everything I can to maximize my physiology and health to get there. And one other thing I'll mention, you know, this 22-day no sugar fast or no sugar diet is hard to do on your own. But we have a WhatsApp group with 140 of my 360 Abundance 360 members. And every morning people are sharing their experiences, their weight loss, their energy levels, their tricks and trades, and what they're eating and what they don't. And doing things in community settings is much better.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that. In fact, community and feeling a part of community is, I think, one of the keys to longevity as well. And it's been shown to be one of the key factors.
It is. Being loved and having a purpose and being in family and being close friends, all of the things are very important.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed another startup of yours, and I marvel at how many of these you're able
to... I'm on number 26, yeah.
Fantastic. The one I was thinking of is the Vaccinity.
Oh, yes.
And you've talked about it as one of the goals there is a vaccine to address cardiovascular disease. Can you say a little bit about
that? Yeah, absolutely. I'm super excited.
Where that's at.
Yeah, super excited about it. So Vaccinity is a company that manufactures a peptide vaccine against proteins in the body. So unlike a vaccine that trains up your immune system to attack a foreign virus, this is looking at endogenous proteins in your body. And I have hypercholesterolemia. My dad had it. And I handle my high LDL levels by taking something called Repatha, which is a monoclonal antibody. And it's a monoclonal antibody against an enzyme in the liver called PCSK9. And PCSK9 in the liver produces low density lipoproteins, which is the bad cholesterol. And so if you block the PCSK9 enzyme, you can reduce your LDL levels. And it does it very effectively. And so in a vat, wherever they produce it, let's say New York, there's these clones of B cells producing these antibodies. And the antibodies get delivered to me in a self-injecting 5 ml syringe. And I inject myself every 2 weeks in my thigh. And it's great, but it's $1,000 an injection. It's expensive, right? It's $1,000 a month, $500 an injection, and it's twice a week. So it's inconvenient at twice a month and expensive. And I can afford it, but it's a third line defense. But if you can reduce your LDL levels, it is one of the greatest combatants against heart disease and stroke. So a year or two ago, we started an internal program to see, can we develop a vaccine to stimulate your immune system to create the same antibodies produced by that vat of B cell clones? In other words, can you get your immune system to generate antibodies with high specificity against the PCSK9 enzyme? And in fact, we can. We just finished our studies in primates, and it was exceptional at or above anything else we've seen out there. There is a very high conservation between primates and humans. So we're now entering human trials. And unlike the $12,000 a year, this and an injection, 24 injections a year, this would be two injections a year every 6 months and cost $50. Mm. Right. So because these vaccines are very low in cost to produce. And so what we have is the ability to do preemptive vaccination of individuals against developing heart disease and stroke. And there's evidence in lots of different societies that, you know, you can start to see cholesterol build up. Again, this is not just cholesterol by itself. It's glycated cholesterol, right? It's sugar sticking to the cholesterol and sticking to the side and generating soft plaques that can evulse and cause a heart attack. So yeah, so this vaccine from Vaccinity is super excited about it.
And again, what's the time frame?
We're in human trials now. I'm not sure, you know, we're in phase one for safety. And we have this vaccine platform we have had in hundreds, probably thousands of humans for other targets. This vaccine platform has been, we have a COVID-19 booster that has outperformed everything else that is looking for is in its registrational trial right now. But we also have a vaccine against Alzheimer's, against A-beta. We have a vaccine against CGRP for migraines, and one against Parkinson's too. So the system has been in humans and is safe. And we just need to get the efficacious data to be able to go to registrational trial for that.
Do you engage AI in this development process?
We are just now. Honestly, any vaccine has got a very simple target list. Any place there's a monoclonal antibody, we can train our system to produce those same antibodies that are manufactured outside the body as a monoclonal.
Mm-hmm. Well, this has been a fascinating conversation, Peter. I so appreciate it. And, you know, we're in this field that's almost like the Wild West, where it's so rapid and so many things happening. So Rob and I are so very interested in not only finding what might work, but also what's safe.
Yeah.
And it seems like that's also something that we should always take into consideration, the safety of whatever it is we're doing.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, I think the biggest, what makes me the most excited is we have in medicine been flying for the most part blind since its inception. And it's just now really with the emergence of sensors that we wear, that we inject, that we consume, that are in our environment. And then the massive power of AI, we're going to see a fundamental revolution, not in 10 years or 5 years, in the next 2 or 3 years, in which we're moving medicine out of the hospital, out of the doctor's office, into the home, right? I've got an Apple Watch, a Levels continuous glucose monitor, an Aura Ring, you know, and there will be many others. And all of my data will flow to an AI that knows what I ate for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, how much I exercise, knows my genetics,
right,
understands my blood chemistries. And as a result of all of those things coming together, is able to reach conclusions analyzing the data that no human ever could. And mm-hmm. So this is the magic that's before us.
Yeah.
And what makes it exciting to be alive right now.
Yeah, definitely. And just the ability to measure and monitor increases a person's awareness, which in and of itself creates change. So all of this is wonderful. You have a great website. I've been on it. I've engaged in your mindset program and others. You have a wealth of information.
Thank you.
How can people find that information? Can you give us the
sure.
website?
Yeah, if you go to just my last name, diamandis.com, I put out 2 tech blogs per week, typically on ones on health and biotech focused, ones on exponential technologies and how they're transforming industries. I'd have a program on finding your massive transformative purpose. And then I'm on social media. I'm just at Peter Diamandis for Twitter and Instagram. I have a podcast called Moonshots and Mindsets, available wherever you get your podcasts. And It's really focused on what are the amazing moonshots that we're taking right now. And one of the biggest ones is adding 10, 20, 30 healthy years on your life that bridges you to get the next 10, 20, 30 healthy years after that.
Well, we will look forward to all of us living that long and getting to that velocity stage where who knows what will happen next. So, Peter, again, thank you very much. All of your links will be in our show notes so people will be able to reach you. So, again, thank you so much.
My pleasure, Stephen. Take care to you and Robert. Bye now.
If you are enjoying this program, please hit that subscribe button, or even better, leave a review. Your support makes it possible for us to create the quality programming that we're continually striving for.
Can I start? Is it recording?
It's already recording.
Oh, sorry. This is for general information and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to constitute or substitute for medical advice or counseling. The practice of medicine or the provision of healthcare, or diagnosis or treatment, or the creation of a physician-patient or clinical relationship. The use of this information is at their own user's risk. If you find this to be on the value, please hit that like button to subscribe to support the work that we do on this channel. And we take your suggestions and advice very seriously, so please let us know what you'd like to see on this channel. Thanks for watching, and we hope to see you next time. You should say that.
You like it? You want to do it one more time, or is that good? I think that was good.
Yes. You need to save the recording.
There you go.